So I want you to imagine just for a second that Jesus was actually asking you, do you understand? That's how he ended this list of, what, five parables. Do you understand? I don't think that this is a rhetorical question. I think Jesus actually wants to know, do we understand what he just said? He wants us to know because he's saying something quite profound about the kingdom of heaven. And almost like a teacher wants to make sure everyone is on the same page before he moves on. And so, do you understand? Because he might rock the boat a little bit. He might change the way that we see and perceive the kingdom of heaven around us. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. This has long been one of the foundational parables referring to how big things come in small packages. I mean, I think we've all heard that. And yes, that's true, and that does describe what the kingdom is. But if we think of it just like that, then we miss the fact, because mustard seeds aren't just small, they're teeny-tiny, as some people would say. They're minuscule, almost invisible, and really kind of insignificant, a mustard seed. You could probably reach down and grab 1,000 of them in your hand. They're tiny. And so what this means is that, let's say that you're casting your wheat seeds on the field. You could have hundreds and hundreds of mustard seeds in your sack, and you don't even know it. And so as you're going out casting wheat, you could actually be casting mustard seed. And next thing you know, you got mustard growing up everywhere you can see. And so then, not only is mustard seed teeny-tiny, but we don't have to even be conscious of it for it to grow. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. But then there's a dirty little secret about mustard seeds. You see, they're a weed. Last week, Jesus told a parable about the wheat and the weeds. Wheat was good, weeds were bad. We're supposed to get rid of those. And now he's saying the kingdom of heaven is a weed. Well, I mean, this just throws it all upside down. But mustard seed, it's that pesky, unwanted plant that grows in everybody's backyard. And as much as you try to get rid of it, it just keeps popping up. Spend hundreds of dollars on, you know, pesticides and stuff like that, and it just keeps popping up everywhere you turn. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's almost like mustard seed. Think of it as the kudzu of first century Israel. Okay? No matter what you do, it's always going to pop up. The kingdom of heaven is like kudzu. Already, the kingdom is a little different than what we expected. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a baker uses to leaven the bread. First, we've got to know that the amount of bread that Jesus mentions, he says 3 measures. 3 measures of bread makes about 100 loaves. 100 loaves is basically the amount of bread you have to make if you're going to throw a wedding feast. That's important detail to know, so keep that locked away. The yeast, like the mustard seed, is teeny-tiny, microscopic. You can't just go down and pick up a piece of yeast. It's tiny, almost invisible, and yet without it, the bread would never rise. But there's more. At this time, in this time period, the way that you get yeast, the way that you get leaven, is whenever you're done eating your bread, you have to save a little bit of piece of bread, and you leave it sitting out on your counter. And you have to let that bread begin to mold, begin to mildew, begin to rot, begin to decay, really. And then you take that rotten, decayed piece of bread and you mix it in with some new bread, and that's how it leavens the whole batch. Now, the problem is, if you don't do this correctly, the bread will kill you if you eat it. So you have to be careful. You have to know what you're doing. So the kingdom of heaven is like a microscopic, moldy, rotten thing that if you make the wrong choices, it might actually kill you. But if you do it correctly, it can be something that is truly life-giving. It can be something that's nourishing. It can be something that is the cause for a wedding feast, a celebration. So the kingdom of heaven, you're going to like this, is kind of like a pufferfish sushi. Or maybe the kingdom of heaven is kind of like rotten grapes that turn out making a fantastic wine. Again, the kingdom is a little different than we expected. But that's the way that Jesus is describing it, where basically out of trash, God is doing incredible things, where a weed can become a tree of life, and where mold can nourish the body. And so it's easy to see why the next two parables speak of people giving up everything, selling everything, so that they can go and lay claim to this new treasure, this kingdom treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field that someone finds and then sells everything that they have to go get that treasure. And so the way that this works is if you own a plot of land, you also own everything in, on, or under that plot of land. And so this guy is just walking around in a field that he doesn't own, and he finds some treasure. Well, you know, this sort of thing happens all the time, even today. They're called thieves. They're called robbers. Walking around in something that doesn't belong to them, finding something that they like. But yet in the parable, this guy doesn't just take it, but he goes and does the things that you're supposed to do. He sells, he gets the money, and he purchases it. That's our protagonist here. And just like that, the merchant, don't just think of, you know, a merchant. Think of a dishonest used car salesman. Okay, that's the image that Jesus is giving here. That's the guy that goes and buys this pearl. Now, these aren't real crowd pleasers, as you can imagine. If you're trying to tell a story where people can get behind it and like, yeah, that's our hero, you wouldn't use a thief and a used car salesman. But yet that's exactly who Jesus uses. And these two people, they make a life-changing, split-second decision, selling everything that they have and purchase this treasure. But it's not a treasure that's made of gold and silver. It's a treasure made of weeds and mold. It's not a treasure made of the heavenly realm, but a treasure made of the down-to-earth, insignificant realities, a treasure made of all the things that surround us and make up our day-to-day life. That is the treasure worth everything in the world. "Do you understand?" asks Jesus. When Jesus walked on this earth, he proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is approaching. Some places even says that it's here. Here and now. And of course, this is the miracle of the incarnation. Incarnation is when God the Son came down and lived as one of us, took our flesh, where God became human. That's the incarnation. God coming to live as one of us, to do the things that we do, all the mundane, the normal, the small parts of life, to have and experience everything that we have and experience. And in doing that, Christ redefined what it means to be holy. He redefined the way that the kingdom can really look. And so what this does is it forces us to look again at how Christ fits into our life. Because if the kingdom of God is found in the smallest things, in weeds and in yeast, then we should also be willing to give over those small things of our life, give them over to God as well. The small parts as well as the big parts. Now, I know a lot of people think that, oh, well, that's just too small. I don't need to let God worry about that. I'll just handle that one on my own. Maybe that's taking out the trash or washing the dishes or folding the clothes, playing golf, going out to lunch with friends, going to the gym, going to work, paying your taxes, going to work, whatever it might be. People say, oh, that's just too small. I don't need to let God worry with that one. I'll take care of it myself. The problem with that is that taking care of it yourself is what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Taking care of it yourself is the definition of sin. If the kingdom of heaven is found in the teeniest parts of the world, then those teeniest parts of our life are the kingdom. And those are the parts that we have to let God into, to let God come in and transform. And just like the mustard seed, it will grow into something that is unrecognizable. It will be something that provides safety, provides comfort, provides contentment, provides acceptance. But we have to let God into it. The tiny parts of our life along with the large parts. Do you understand? Asks Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like fishermen who catch their fish, the good fish and the bad fish, where we are fish and the angels are the fishermen. Well, the thing with being a fish is you don't know if you're a good fish or a bad fish. Also with being a fish is you can't look out and tell if another fish is a good fish or a bad fish. You're a fish, and so is every other fish. You just go around doing fishy things. That's what it means to be a fish. So we don't get to decide what makes a good fish or a bad fish. And thank goodness for that, because we'd probably do it wrong. In a kingdom where weeds and mold and thieves are the agents of that kingdom, in a kingdom where the insignificant, the rotten, the teeny-tiny can grow the kingdom, it really makes us redefine what good and evil is in the first place. What I think it means is that for something to be good is directly connected for how God can use it in the kingdom. For something to be good is directly connected to how God can use it for the kingdom. What this means is that we have a choice. Just like the thief, just like the merchant, we have the choice. Do we lay claim to this kingdom or not? Do we choose to let God work in our lives, the big and the little, or not? You know, I know it's funny to say let God work in our life. I mean, God's going to work whether we want it or not. But the idea is, are we going to choose to do it alone? Are we going to choose to consciously let God be a part of it? And of course, this means living a life of prayer and study and service and outreach. Really, every single part of your life dedicated and connected and inspired by the work of what Jesus Christ has done. Giving the good, the bad, and the ugly everything over so that God can use it for his kingdom. We just have to let him. Do you understand? Asks Jesus. He says, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. That's what it means to understand. Out of your own treasure, to bring what is new and what is old. For me, that means redemption. That means finding a new purpose or repurposing what you thought wasn't worth to be given over to God and letting God have it. It means taking all those things that we thought weren't special enough and letting God work in it, what is new and what is old. And so I want you to think hard about this. You don't say it out loud, but think hard about this. Here's the question. I want you to think about the smallest, most insignificant thing in your everyday life. Think about it. Probably the first thing that pops in your head. Now, what does it look like for God to use that for the kingdom? My next question. What's the most normal, routine part of your life? Hold it. Now, what does it look like for God to use that for the kingdom? What's the most exciting, exhilarating moment of your life? And what does it look like for God to use that for his kingdom? And now the hard one. What's the most horrible, evil, and vile thing that you can imagine? Now what does it look like for God to use that for his kingdom? Do you understand? Asks Jesus. To God be the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.